I seem to be the worst at keeping up with shows I actually like.
I don't even try to watch stuff when it's on TV because I can't do it. I fail every single time.
Yeah.
Do you even get live TV?
Because of Ben. Otherwise, I would not. But Ben likes to watch his Mythbusters and How It Works and cooking shows for days upon end.
Well, I mean, there used to be value in Mythbusters.
He just likes to fall asleep to it on the couch. Although Alton Brown's new show is kind of fun. I will admit that.
Cutthroat Kitchen.
Yeah. I mean, it's not informative, but...
Yeah, I miss Good Eats.
I just kind of like the mean-spiritedness of it, of trying to f*** people over. Like, the one I saw, they were trying to make omelets, and, like, one of them's got crippled by having to use their skillet upside down to cook eggs. Which is the most impossible thing.
No, I think the most impossible thing is the one where they had to make their own utensils out of aluminum foil.
Oh, that's amazing.
That's scary.
But the best ones are the ones where, you know, they can inflict something on someone else.
Will they give them shitty ingredients?
Or take ingredients away from them.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, it's kind of like if you took Iron Chef and Chopped and put me in charge of it.
It's a V-themed show because it's all about being a dick to someone. Which is why it's kind of strange that Alton Brown's involved with it, because he seems so nice.
And yet, he does this so naturally.
Yeah. That's the thing I noticed, is that this show would be unwatchable if it had any other Food Network chef hosting it.
Yes.
Imagine Guy Fieri.
Although, no, wait, there is one other chef who would actually work in this application. It's Bobby Flay, professional food troll.
Oh, yeah.
Or possibly Chairman Koga.
Well.
Yeah, but Bobby Flay's last show on Food Network was specifically built around him being an asshole. You know, it was that one where they would go to the person and tell them they're getting a show on Food Network. But no, really, Bobby Flay's just going to come and embarrass you in front of all your friends.
Awesome.
So, yeah, I could see him being able to run Cutthroat Kitchen, too.
You're listening to Superhero Time, the best podcast about Food Network.
Boost up for Buster! Kettle! This is Superhero Time. With XV.
Fecalicious.
Hey, Mickey.
It's a great day when I get to use my crab plate.
Paladin.
I can disappear completely up my own butt.
Ken.
That was a really intense one.
JD Church.
Oh my god, that was a bad time to take a drink.
And Fort Max.
Aw.
This week on Superhero Time, autocomplete problems. Wait, no.
No.
So it's week two of Pokemon X and Y.
We're just the apologizing thing.
We are just as addicted, which is probably a good thing. Oh, my Eevee is trading, and I'm getting a... Oh, that little scat bug thing.
Scat bug?
I don't know, whatever the little...
Dung beetle.
No, he's right.
Scatterbug.
That's a dung beetle, right?
Well, you still need to evolve it to see which wing pattern you get.
I don't care.
You've got to catch them all, goddammit.
Are they the new unknowns?
Pretty much, yes.
Yeah, basically.
They're unknowns with a mystery wrapper.
Yeah, it works.
Mystery wrapper.
Because you have to take the time to evolve it and then go, oh.
Well, it doesn't take long. You just take it to a high level spot, turn XP share on, and
put a lucky egg on it.
Or
you find the lucky egg.
You can give them to you
at some hotel.
You can do like five of them in like about 5 minutes.
It's second to more hotels, then.
Yeah, really.
You have to show some bitch a Pokemon that loves you, and she's like, hey, here, take my eggs.
So now we're back to Ditto again.
We've had a dime for every time.
She took my eggs.
50 cents.
I wonder if anyone's ever done a study on how dittos even reproduce.
Okay, I just got the best wonder trade.
What? Like, did the dittos just split off a little piece of them? Are they budding, or...
It's the fairy Eevee.
What did you get in wonder trade?
That's what I'm saying. I just got the fairy wonder, the fairy
Sylveon.
Eevee. Yeah, the Sylveon.
Oh, shit.
How badass is that? And get this, I started the wonder trade with an Eevee. So basically, how badass is that?
You know what's great about it is that Eevee takes like some actual work to get up to Sylveon.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm like, that is weird. Yeah, really. I'm going to check that thing out.
Maybe it's hacked. Have they learned how to do that yet?
Nope. The 3DS is fairly hack resistant since Nintendo can check your log and see if you put in flashcards and shit.
Yeah, the whole game hasn't even been hacked. So there's stuff that people still don't know about in the game.
Which is really weird.
Oh, like how no one's discovered any kind of post-game content for it.
Oh my god. This is level 85.
What?
Maybe
this
somebody
is level 85.
You know what this could be? This could be someone who's beaten the game as one turning their shit off before they reset it.
That's what I'm thinking.
That's a possibility.
Yep. That would not surprise me.
Which is
me.
A pretty awesome thing to do, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Someone's just going to get a... Xerneas and the wonder trade and be like, what the f***? I'm just starting out. What the hell?
The special attack and defense on this is insane. Oh my god.
Well, there's your game winner right there, JD.
Yep, well, I think I... okay, so I need to find another water type. And...
yeah.
Can
you even use level 85 yet?
No. No, I can't.
Well,
no, I can't even.
So you're gonna throw out Sylveon, and she's gonna prance around there, licking herself and looking pretty, ignoring everything you say to it.
Basically, so she's.
Why didn't they do that in Pokemon the Origin?
Yeah, it would be.
So basically, it's just like marriage.
Oh my god!
So, of all the married people in the chat right now, is there a lot of licking yourself going on?
Not there probably myself. Would be if he could reach.
I would if I could reach. Have I told you guys about my theory of evolution audio fellatio?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, you told me. They probably haven't heard it before.
Have I mentioned this on the show?
I don't think so.
So here's my theory. My theory is that all of humanity, the human race, basically evolved because we can't reach our genitals with our mouths.
So we're T-Rexes?
No, but we evolved this. We evolved, you know, like everything that we have, all of this great stuff, so that we could, you know, get other people to lick our genitals for us, and you know, but basically we were bored, though. Really, is what it is. It's like we couldn't reach our own genitalia with our mouths, therefore we had to build civilization. If we could, we would just still be animals laying around licking our nuts, and or.
I don't buy this because you don't need civilization to club someone over the head and use the mouth.
Well, the other part, sorry, that's not really what I meant. What I meant was is that because we couldn't do that ourselves, we had time, you know. Otherwise, we would just be licking all
the time. Oh, we had the capacity to do it.
Right. But you can also find other people, which is nice.
So, Peldon, what's in the, you know, toku-related news this week?
The non-fellatio-related news.
The fellatio I don't mind so much. It's just the, you know, consistent Pokemon from week to week.
Okay. Between new toy scans and magazine listings, we have confirmed 4 new Kamen Riders for Gaim. There's Kamen Rider Kurokage, Kamen Rider Rhine, Kamen Rider Dokyu, and Kamen Rider OG.
Kurokage.
Damn. Whatever.
What fruit are they? That's the only thing that really matters.
Well, Kurokage appears to be the pine cone rider I mentioned last week.
Oh, the sweet, delicious pine cone. My favorite fruit.
Rhine is lemon. Dokyu is cherry. And I believe OG is peach.
How would you know?
Just ask Dinah Pink.
I'm tending to think that the Japanese-styled names are... related to like Zangetsu, because Ryugen is also
related to what now?
Well, Ryugen and Zangetsu are the two that actually have Japanese names, and I'm wondering if that's going to carry through.
I'm sorry, you have to refer to them by their fruit.
Melon and grape.
Oh, okay.
So what are their Japanese names?
Zangetsu and Ryugen.
Well, yeah, no, I get that, but I'm...
I mean, the names are in Japanese as opposed to Baron or Gaim.
Well, okay, Gaim's okay. Japanese, yeah.
And thus, yeah. Ken's whole thing falls apart.
Just like usual. It's possible that Dokyu and Oji may be female writers, though.
Don't be retarded. That's dumb.
Well, it just means that they'll last, like, two episodes and then either die or disappear.
Females can't be writers.
They can if they die.
Hmm.
Or are never seen again.
Or turn into space semen?
Yeah, sure.
The listings like, also pretty much confirm that the guy I'm seeing in the first movie war teaser is a blood orange rider.
Well, we knew that already.
Now we're sure.
Vegetarian vampires.
I mean, it's obvious just to look at it that's a blood orange.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Huh?
So I noticed that the Gaim AC toys seem to be selling out pretty damn fast, which is a good sign.
Yes.
Why wouldn't they sell out fast?
Didn't the Wizard equivalent sell out fast, too, because they were so much better looking than the figure arts, though?
I don't recall.
Well, that was back when people thought Wizard was a good show.
Hmm.
Yeah, well, you're not going to be able to switch to armors on the figure arts, so.
Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah.
Kind of like how the double form change figures were popular. Meanwhile, O's combo change. O's combo change, nobody cared because it was O's.
Those are okay figures, though.
But I do remember when they were coming out, people were getting them because, again, the figure arts weren't going to be able to switch around.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
They're just going to offer the figure arts in every possible combination.
Yeah.
And, of course, the Burst Scorpion was much better in the combo change form than figure arts.
Yeah.
What the hell happened?
What the fuck was a scorpion anyway? Why the hell did Burst have a scorpion?
Why not?
Because that's the shape those parts could fit into.
I don't know what Kagami is thinking. I mean, let's make a giant robotic scorpion for birthdays and beginnings.
Happy birthday!
Maybe he's a Scorpius.
Ooh.
Like, I think it works since they formed like a robotic death baby.
What sort of shape is a robotic death baby?
Or better yet, like a birthday cake tank?
Oh, goodness.
So it shoots from the candles?
If they had made a toy of a robotic birthday tank cake. I would have bought that.
Birthday tank. I know what I'm asking for on my next birthday.
Happy birthday!
You'd have to make a wish on it to fire this giant super shot out.
What?
Aw.
Huh? Ken?
You being kicked off already?
I guess. Well, no point worrying about that now. Continue, Paladin.
I interrupted. Go ahead.
Okay. Apparently, Bluefin is hinting at a couple of new releases. They're suggesting their San Diego Comic-Con for the coming year will be the Figuarts Black Armored Ranger from
and
that one
shieldless
episode
green.
Of Season 2.
A two-pack of season Armored
one.
Black and Shielded
and
Unshielded Green.
Unshielded Green could probably go for a bit.
People yeah, it sounds
actually make their own show accurate shields out of cloth.
It sounded yes. like those were going to be a two-pack.
I could see that happening.
Hmm.
They should make a green with a silver stripe on the helmet.
Maybe they'll put a silver stripe on the helmet of the two-pack one.
Hmm.
But probably not.
We have repro labels for Transformers. How come nobody does a repro shield for Figuarts Green Ranger?
Because Green Ranger comes with a shield?
A cloth shield.
Dude, that was a
that
sticker.
Would be made out of cloth.
Exactly.
Not sticker.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Lord.
That was a very good argument.
Compelling.
Mm-hmm.
This is why we get more listeners than Fanboy Versus.
Couldn't it just be a sticker where the surface is, like, you know, flocked? Of course, it wouldn't look quilted.
Want a that, flocked ranger figure.
See, that's really where the distinction lies. You need to be able to make that shield look quilted.
Oh, not flogged. I'm sorry. I thought you said flogged. I was like, that's a different
how,
thing.
Of course, your mind always goes to floggings.
How would you even make flogging a texture?
It'll be kind of puffy and purple looking.
Have you ever seen a flogging?
No, we don't do a video show.
Perhaps you're not. Perhaps you're not familiar with flogging. Then
all of our floggings are audio based.
You're listening to the Flogging Hour.
Intro quote.
This sub has been well trained to receive flogging. You ready, dear? Remember yellow and red. A little snippet of my Saturdays.
All right, so as long as we're on toy news, Paladin, enlighten me. Has anyone spotted the Megaforce Gosei Wonder yet?
I have not.
The blue jet sort of thing?
Yes.
The movie exclusive from Gosager?
Yes.
I believe that's out. I just haven't seen it myself.
That was
what
wonderful.
Kind of packaging is it in? Because I don't even know what to look for.
The word vehicle.
Is it?
So it's like the tri-header sleds type packaging?
Even the blue one? Because that's bigger than the regular Zord vehicles.
Well, if it had the head collapsed in, then I guess it might fit in that
But the wings, too. Though.
Well, it's probably like how the, in the same, well, let's see, the big one's probably in the same sort of set that the jets with the three headers were.
Now, I've seen the wave two of that, and that's just the ATVs with the two heads apiece.
Right. Which
that,
are the
Gosei Wonder was not with it at either Walmart I went to.
Yeah. I've not seen Gosei Wonder. It's like it didn't. And in fact, the Walmart I went to, it looked like they had just gotten a full stock. So it's certainly not in the same cases as those. So that's. So I'm with you. I'm glad you asked that because that's kind of where I'm at too. I'm a little confused.
This is the packaging in the Skype chat.
Oh, fantastic.
So it's like the Lion Mechazord.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
If that thing costs $25, that noise.
It probably is.
Yeah.
It has awesome box art though.
It does.
Box art, I'll give it that totally.
Yeah.
It does, but you can enjoy the box art without spending $25.
That's like He-Man style box art. That's awesome.
It just needs mana arms on top of it.
Totally. Can someone Photoshop that? That would be sweet.
Yeah, I love how it's got, you know, super mode Gosei Red down in the corner, but the figure is just regular Gosei Red.
Totally. Have you seen the figure change ones, the auto change?
Bless their hearts, they tried.
Oh my god, it's so bad.
They tried as much as you can expect for Megaforce.
The chest, like, opens up like a wing. Like, I want to, like, take that figure apart and just add, like, blood and stuff. And then you have, like, like, exploding ranger effect, you know? It is amazing. Like, oh, that's funny. That is going to be an expensive Zord set. I mean, considering that it's really just headers.
Yeah.
And you only get two headers a package there, so you're paying $30 for four headers.
Yeah.
So
pay a lot for a little. That's Megaforce.
Well, it is a different body. I mean, so, but yeah, it is $30 for four headers.
And then another $25 for the middle piece.
Well, I mean, even at that, like, Gosei Grand was expensive by that standard because you had to buy the two bikes. Plus the body. So this is.
Well, the bikes were mostly Zord.
Well, but this is comparable to Gosei Grand in the sense that. I mean, you have to buy the two plus this, so.
Yeah, it kind of was pricey.
It's a lot for Gosei Jermecha.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I've just kind of had enough of buying Gosei Jermecha at this point.
I think I'm done.
This is a lot more time than I ever wanted to spend discussing Gosei Jermecha.
And you bought them.
At least he got the ostrich out of it, though. You know, you'll spend hundreds of dollars on the U.S. toys and never have an ostrich.
That's irritatingly true.
We all miss the ostrich, Zord.
If there was any reason to just abandon buying the Megaforce toys, that would be it.
And I'm perfectly happy with my candy toys.
It would be like if in the Super Megaforce line...
You've got a lot of them.
It would be like if in Super Megaforce they skipped adapting... what's name? The go on your upgrade.
Mach Falcon?
Yeah. If they just did not have that toy in the toy line.
Maybe they edited
around it in the show. I mean, why would you even bother with that toy line then?
If I don't get engine number 13, heads will roll.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. See?
So speaking of Megaforce, did anybody watch this end of the season like clip?
The Halloween special.
No, not the Halloween special. The end of the season, the switchover, the end game, the last episode, the YouTube. It's on Tokyo Nation.
I did not see that.
It's finished airing in France, so there's clips up.
Yeah, but it's in French, which is hilarious. And I was like watching this, like expecting something of interest.
It's Megaforce.
There was nothing of interest. Like, it was like, okay, well, that's the Zanyek attacking. Cool. We knew that was going to happen. Great. But it's worth it to watch, just to watch them, you know.
In French?
Watch the dub French part. Yeah, it's kind of funny. Especially the part when Gose is like, transform! Transform now! Holy crap!
But yeah, it's really nothing of interest happens.
I don't think so, but
it's
Megaforce. I don't know how Ghost Ager ended, so I don't know. Like, there's a little end bit that I'm not familiar with, so.
I'm kind of curious as how they segue the power change.
Yeah, and they didn't show that yet.
It's bad for sales to, you know, end the series on the powers being destroyed.
Really?
$10 says in episode 1 of Super Megaforce, it's just Ghost Ager saying, okay, your old powers, put them away, here's your new morphers.
You think TJ will show up and, like, blow it up? Like...
This power is not a Megazord.
Oh. Damn. I got this for y'all!
That's why
also,
TJ...
back to news. Legacy Titanus may be on the way.
Okay.
And this is from...
The same interview that suggests the San Diego Comic-Con exclusives.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, the Legacy Dragonzord box had a thing on the side that suggested that hinted that there was going to be a Titanus. But yeah, I expect that it's going to have some remolding from the mix and morph,
such as removing the mix and morph component.
Possibly, but it's dead.
Or adding more mix and morph.
It would have to have a place for, like, say, the Dragonzord chest plate to go.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't have America. It totally doesn't need that.
Megazord and Dragonzord are both 60. Titanus would probably be like $100 now, wouldn't it?
Yeah, especially with all that metal.
Yeah. It's all metal. Oh, my God.
They don't really, like, technically they don't need to make changes to Titanus to accommodate the Dragonzord chest plate and tail if the new Dragonzord works like the original and that can be plugged in underneath the feet. Because on the original Mega Dragonzord, that's where those parts were supposed to go.
It's an idea. It may not ever come to fruition.
It would probably be easier just to re-release the original Titanus and not bother with the mix and morph version.
Would anyone notice the difference?
Probably not.
Depends if it kept the motor or not.
Well, Space Titanus dropped the motor.
Well, it doesn't
space
need a motor.
Titanus dropped the ball.
It doesn't need a motor in space.
Yeah.
It could sit there in space and spin its wheels all at once. It's not going anywhere.
It replaced the motor with a giant space dildo.
That's its method of propulsion. It's a warp dildo.
Thunk, thunk, thunk.
And Tomashii Nations is going to be carrying the Proplica Sailor Moon wand.
Proplica.
Yes, that is what it's called.
I know. I want to reiterate that.
I want to smack somebody.
Actually.
I want to smack somebody for that.
I like portmanteaus. It's like when they combine two words together into one.
But they haven't announced a U.S. price for that yet.
What's the Japanese price? I don't remember.
8,000 yen.
Right, so it's going to be like $85, $90.
Yeah, I'll stick with my 90s version for that. Thank you.
But this could be an interesting new line for Bluefin. Would we see other roleplay stuff brought over here?
What roleplay stuff will we want them to bring over?
It's a difficult question because, like, for Sentai stuff, that's all licensed to Bandai. You know, even the like, classic stuff would be hard to probably license around that. Whereas nobody cares about Sailor Moon. In a general sense, I mean.
Of course you do.
In a Japan won't let America touch it ever again way.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I'm not sure what they would have access to that would be interesting.
What about, like, the Kamen Rider devices?
But
I wouldn't mind a Scouter toy.
They make a Scouter toy. They were kind of
like a nice perfect one, like, you know.
Perfect, so you mean it self-destructs?
No, yes. No, you have to crush it. They don't self-destruct.
No, one of them...
It depends who you're facing.
Yeah, one Scouter exploded just from being overloaded.
Your mom was overloaded once, but she didn't explode, just kind of leaked.
She didn't really notice either.
It was just a ditto.
It's like you put too much frosting on a cinnamon roll and it sort of falls off the edge.
Ooh, I'd love a cinnamon roll.
So, you here seen the legacy?
And now I can never eat cinnamon rolls again.
Hey, and you're welcome.
Glazed.
You already ruined sour cream donuts for me.
What about
sour cream donuts?
Oh yeah, totally.
Yeah. What about the nachos?
Well, I almost
the
never
nachos with sour cream are already ruined, so
yeah.
The classics never die.
No, despite your best efforts, no. They just keep going.
Just like coming. This show.
No, but I mean, if you think about it, the Legacy Power Morpher is basically the same idea as a Proplica toy.
Yeah. Slash Brass Knuckles.
That's what makes it so fun. I assume. I don't have one.
Have you held one yet?
No,
they
I haven't.
They are heavy as balls. You could do some damage with this thing.
Hey, well, they're as heavy as my ball.
They used them as Brass Knuckles once in Zoo Ranger, so...
More than once, I think.
They probably killed the stunt man they hit him with.
I think that happened several times
it's
early
Japan.
In
Japan. They got plenty to spare. Remember, they set him on fire back in Garo.
That's true.
The Zoo Ranger actor like just takes a swing at a putty and like this jawbone flies off.
Oh my god! I have to tell you. So Amanda and I were watching O's. We finished O's, by the way. I forgot to mention that last week.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I know. But actually, it wasn't bad. We actually liked it. But,
you got bad taste then.
Yeah. Anyway, but there was some part we were watching one part and some action sequence happened or something, and Amanda was like, "Oh, hazard pay," and I was like, "No, they don't get that in Japan. No. No such thing in Japan. They're just glad to work."
Did she see that Garo episode with the car stunts?
No.
Probably should have showed her that.
Yeah, I need to show her that. She'd be like, "What? Are they crazy?" No, we like those.
She had to pay docked for doing it.
There were, I mean, as far as O's go, like there were a couple of yes, I will give you that there were a few weak episodes in there, but I think all in all, it brought it back around in the end.
The biggest problem with O's is that they completely changed their message 2/3 through.
For AG, mostly.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Having the largest desire in the world, it's like, oh, nope, he has no desire whatsoever, which makes no goddamn sense.
Yeah, you can't have it both ways like that.
And they like changed it like 4 episodes later, too.
It's all a whim.
Yeah. And it's like they introduced this thing, and then 4 episodes later, it's like, oh, no, he doesn't have He doesn't have any desire at all. No, right. No.
Even though they already showed he had the greatest desire of all. He desired the entire fucking world.
Which also made no sense.
Yeah.
Well, it did make sense. He wanted to protect the whole world.
Okay. It kind of, I don't know, maybe, I wonder if there's a translation thing. Because it's kind of like, in one sense, they were saying, like, his capacity was infinite. But it's also like his desire was, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying.
The difference was between desire and dream.
Yeah. Because,
translation issue, maybe?
Yeah, I'm thinking so. Because it seemed like they were saying, like, watching the visuals of it, especially when you think about, like, the cup visual, they seem to be indicating that his capacity was infinite. That's why I don't wonder if there isn't something to that. You know, like, we just don't have a good English equivalent.
And I think the potential was there. It was just poorly executed.
Well, I thought the rest... That's what I'm saying, though. I think the rest of the show was fine. I think there may have been some translation issues there, but...
I think there were some writing issues.
Well, okay, there may be that, too.
I think they definitely suffered from losing an episode, too.
Yeah.
And there's some directing issues in that final fight scene in the water.
Yeah.
Odd. Well, they did, the same thing happened at the end of Forza, though. It's like they keep doing those. And Wizard. What is with the water fight scenes near the end of the series?
Wizard had one too?
Yeah, remember?
Remembering would require watching.
Yes. Okay, I'm sorry. Let me back up. Yes, there was also a water fight scene at the end of Wizard.
Did it involve Stoppy Cam?
It did not involve that. Oh my god, Amanda was like, what is wrong with the TV?
That's an accurate representation of what.
If I remember right, Overtime actually put a note up on the release post with that episode saying, no, the video file is fine. This is actually the way it was presented.
Well, you could tell because of the way the audio was playing through that it wasn't like.
You could still have a video encoding problem that would leave the audio. Fine, though.
Yeah, I could tell from the way it was moving, though. I mean, because if it was that, then the audio when they came back and talked would be out of sequence.
Maybe not. I'm just saying.
Explain it to us.
I wouldn't. The video and audio are two distinct streams.
Right, so that's what I'm saying. If the audio.
So they crossed the streams?
If the video farked, then it would be. The audio would be off. Like, their mouths would be moving.
Not necessarily. Depends on how the video farted.
Right. Fort Max isn't being pedantic here. He's entirely factually correct about this. It's entirely possible to have video glitches, and then at the end of that, it all syncs back up again.
If the time coding doesn't mess up, you're not going to have any sync issues.
Okay, I see what you're saying now. Yes, I will concur that is
the whole point of the anecdote, though, was
to your expertise.
Yes,
the whole point of the anecdote was that Overtime felt it necessary to put a notice up on the post saying, "No, the video file has not been screwed up."
Well, and
they filmed it this way on purpose.
Because again, like, even Amanda was going like, "What is wrong with this?" I'm like, "That is a directing choice, and wow,
and a bad one."
Yeah,
I don't know what they were watching and thought that was a good idea.
You're listening to Superhero Time from 2 years ago,
basically. Yeah,
but we did get to finish it up by watching Mega Max, so it also kind of probably helped too because there wasn't a delay between. For us, watching the end of O's and watching Mega Max, which, while not great, is at least...
Mega Max was just okay.
It was a decent capper, though, for...
Mega Max was good.
At least it was core. It never explained how Ankh came back.
Well, it doesn't explain it. It just says it's going to happen, and
in,
so...
At some point in the future, when so they, yeah. that they managed to fix the metal. And right. That's really all that's needed.
Exactly. Because that gives AG hope to go on, plus you got him all the medals back, so that... Because, I mean, that was kind of the thing at the end of O's, because you're like, well, crap, he's done. He's got no medals. He's got, you know, there's no way for him to go on. So it at least explained how he got his medals back.
No medals, no hand job, buddy.
No hand job. So it at least explained how he
keeps trying to go to Shingo, trying to ask, he keeps going over to Shingo for stuff.
Like, dude, go away. Stop.
But, you know, it at least showed how he could, like, make poor appearances in other Rider movies.
Right.
And, hey, Super Tatsuba, so...
Oh.
Kind of sucks.
Yeah.
God.
And then Amanda... he shows up again, and then Super Tatsuba shows up again in Wizard.
Amanda keeps referring...
And so does Pudotera.
Amanda keeps referring to him as that awful stoplight costume.
Made of rain slickers.
Yeah,
yeah, that's
what I want to know is why they had Super Tatsuba and not any of the other movie super forms.
Well, but no, Tatsuba she hates. She hates Tatsuba, just Tatsuba alone, because she's like, it just looks like a stoplight. But then Super Tatsuba, she's like, oh god, they took something awful and made it worse.
What the lesson learned from Super Mode is that you don't make Rider suit out of that material in yellow.
Yes.
Yeah.
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 You just Wizard, don't.
That's definitely a good point.
Well, it kept, like, even most of the, I think Zagozo was the only combo form that she, because Zagozo and Tajador were the only two she really liked. Most of the others she complained about the clashing colors.
Well, those two had the best songs anyway, so that's okay.
Yeah.
How do the other combos clash?
Well, just because of the way the colors, like, aren't...
They're the same color families, but none of the colors really complement each other. They're very... They don't work together.
They don't look
specifically
good
in Shouta.
Shouta
the light
is...
blue with the dark blue and the medium blue, it doesn't flow.
No. Gatakiba is bad about that, too.
Yes.
Yeah, Gatakiba is pretty glaring.
I used it.
But Rata Rata doesn't do too bad with the color matching.
It's
and
okay.
Then there's Futotira, which is a piece of shit.
Oh, yeah. Well, Futotira. Mm. Yeah.
In design and use.
He's fun in Batrat War.
Yeah, that's the selling point.
The standard by which all things should be measured.
Did we have any more news? I kind of lost track of where we were before the O's tangent.
Hey, at least we're talking about Toku, so...
No, I'm not complaining. I just... Before we move on to anything else, I want to make sure, you know, we finish up.
We were pretty much at the end of it with the Proplica.
Okay, but that's fine then.
Even though I know you guys don't care, the Kyoryugers finally have their last Zord, so that series is definitely in the home stretch now.
Oh.
Right, so how about that Megaforce?
Clip show.
Oh, yeah,
Halloween clip show, including right clips right of stuff we haven't seen.
I'm watching this going...
Wait. Halloween clip show of stuff we haven't seen.
That's how great Saban is.
Because it also used some of the monsters that got skipped because 20 episodes for...
From 50.
Yeah, it was bizarre.
Really?
It was really bizarre. But it was like a half clip show because the second half...
Yeah, because then it went to the one... It said it went with the monster that Eri beat up with the pot.
Her ears.
Her ears. Yes.
He beat up someone with pot? Wow, Megaforce is more awesome than I thought.
Yeah, really. Yeah. But hey... Finally, Noah was skeptical. I was like, yes, why has this Noah not been here? He's like, ghosts don't exist. I was like, no, they don't. Thank you. He's like,
he was busy building an ark.
Yeah, really.
Or working on that perpetual motion thing.
Yeah, or trying to find the Loch Ness monster. I'm like, god damn it. But they like go to a seance thing, and he's all like, oh, it's hydraulics. I'm like, yes, it is. Finally! Why couldn't you be this skeptical the rest of the season?
Well, it's in a Power Rangers universe. Monsters kind of exist.
Yeah.
I guess
yeah, so. Yeah, it's like being skeptical in the Marvel universe. Like, you know, you've got Thor standing next to you.
Oh, come on. Tony's an atheist. But, you know, God's technology, blah, blah, blah. Anyway. There was that, but otherwise, watching Troy try to use a country accent was kind of funny.
That already sounds horrifying.
No.
Does it count as acting?
I think so.
It depends. How well was it done?
It wasn't. It was sort of country generic.
How close to Ken did it sound?
No, it was like I said. It was country generic.
That's what I'm saying.
It's like it's country. It's the country accent. Okay. It's the country accent that actors would use if they were doing Oklahoma.
How is that supposed to be a selling point?
I'm just saying. It's like it worked for Hugh Jackman. That's all I'm going to say. It's good enough for Hugh Jackman.
That's a selling point?
Yeah, dude, he made X-Men Origins, for God's sake.
Dude, Hugh Jackman. Hugh Jackman's amazing.
Yeah, he's a good actor.
He's very gay. Without actually sucking cock.
He's about as gay as you can get while still being straight.
Yeah.
And I'm saying that, so take that as you will.
If anyone would know.
If anybody would know how to be really gay without being completely gay. Might be me.
What do you mean, might?
Anyway.
Since the clip show is aired, does that mean we're in another break of reruns again?
I'm assuming so, since this was a Halloween episode. And it's next week's Halloween.
They don't have much more time to break. What the f***?
Well, they got to build up some more suspense for the Robo Night before Christmas.
We got 5 episodes left, so.
$10 says when Super Mega Force airs, we get the premiere, and then it goes into reruns for 8 months.
Yeah.
Seems accurate.
But it should show the first episode over and over and over again.
No, they'll start with the 3rd episode.
So it'll be like Spider-Man Unlimited.
16, and they might not even finish Super Mega Force by then.
Will the toys come out, though? That's the important question.
Well, of course. The toys always come out.
Yeah, actually, I wouldn't put it past them to air the first episode of Super Mega Force before they air the end of Mega Force. So, you know, they can start the new show and go back into reruns of the old show immediately.
And we got, like, 4 more years of this, too.
Remember when we got new episodes weekly for, like, a full year?
Like, 40 episodes a year?
Remember when we got new episodes daily?
Yeah.
That was a long time ago.
Back when television actually mattered.
I miss 1993.
Why? It's here now, dude. Our single Hall has a show. I mean, hell.
Power Rangers are popular again.
Arsenio Hall has a show.
It doesn't. None of that matters, though, because Mr. Rogers is dead.
Alice in Chains. STP.
We don't have Mr. Rogers anymore, so it can't be 1993.
Like,
I'm sorry.
Literally, like, 4 or 5 90s groups, like, all had albums come out within the last month.
And JD is a heartless monster who doesn't care about Mr. Rogers.
Well, I mean, what are you going to do? Yes, like,
missing the point here. Mr. Rogers didn't die. He lives on.
In all of us.
Right here. He's there with you now.
Maybe in
anyone else want to throw up?
If you close your eyes, you can hear him talking directly into your heart.
So he's telling me to punch people in the face?
No. That's Elmo.
Yeah, now if Elmo touched you, then that's a whole different thing.
Actually, Elmo is probably telling you to suck somebody's cock, but
totally.
How did they ever resolve it? Did they recast him, or?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Him and R. Kelly, though, man, they're like buds now.
Elmo and R. Kelly?
Totally.
Oh shit!
I hate to see that video.
I'd buy that for $1.
There's a slight difference in severity of, you know, R. Kelly pissed on, like, a 12-year-old, and Elmo tried to suck off a 17-year-old. So, you know,
19.
Different degrees of terribleness going on there.
Just a little, I guess, yeah. 17's not bad.
One's terrible, the other one's just a public relations problem.
What? I did a 17-year-old one.
Well, on a scale of murder to genocide, there's a different scale of...
Look, 17 is wrong. Like... 17 is like mostly there. Like there's a very vague 17,
I think
line.
It's legal in some in a lot of
in
states.
Most states, yeah.
There's like a good enough for Sakamoto. Where, you know, if you're in a different place.
Thanks, Paladin.
Yeah.
As long as you don't feed them after midnight, you're okay. What were we talking about?
Gaim.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Good a segue as any. Now pull it right back off the cliff.
So, Paladin, why don't you do Gaim this week?
Yeah, what the hell, okay.
Damn it.
He's got to do Ranger Blue, because that was his idea.
Oh, no, I have a completely different idea for that.
Oh, oh God.
Punch was right.
I'm afraid now.
Fort Max, you better start queuing that up in Netflix.
Oh God. I haven't bothered watching it since I watched it a few months ago, but
I could have sworn he's because I haven't bothered watching because I don't watch anything.
Well, that's kind of true.
Just in codes. Okay, just let me save in the Frost Cavern here.
That was awesome.
All right, so brief recap from last episode, which was awesome, and some scientist guys are apparently exploring the Terror in the world, and in comes Zangetsu, who is kind of badass.
That's Kamen Rider Grapes, right?
Melon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Honeydew.
So, awesome intro once again. Just Live More is an awesome song.
And they changed it a bit even in the second episode here.
Well, because they didn't want to reveal that Henson sequence, so... They got to add it back in. So.
Well, for all the writers they're going to be using, that's encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
So Kota comes home and shows off the new belt to his sister and immediately walks behind the door to transform.
I love that because it's just like, you know, all the other writers are always like, okay, I got to keep this a secret or whatever. And he's like, look at me. I'm badass.
Not this series.
And he's shining his horn while he shows off the suit to her.
Isn't this f***ing great?
She completely does not care.
No, she's like, yeah, okay, dinner's going to be ready soon.
Whatever, just keep it down. That thing's loud.
She's like, I guess God this proves the Gaim suit doesn't work like the meteor suit and that it doesn't need to be out in the open for the orange to drop out on it.
That's because there's a zipper in the sky, not a satellite in orbit.
Yeah, it's a little bit different.
And apparently the zipper can be anywhere and not just the sky.
Well, yeah, we see the zippers in the walls, and zippers come out of wherever.
What we're getting at here is that zippers are a lot more convenient.
Right.
But sure, so that would be a snag yourself.
Right.
Yeah, you gotta make sure to be fully tucked in before you zip up.
Totally. Yeah.
I love that he's practicing his henshin.
Because you don't want to close your fruit in a zipper.
Nobody wants a bruised banana.
No. No.
Or pinched grapes.
No. Oh. Sheriff Ross.
So yes, Kota practices his henshin poses.
Which, to be fair, all of us would do if we got a driver.
Well, I mean,
here's the best part. All of that was ad-libbed.
But what I like about that, though, and like that whole bit right there is like almost every other Kamen Rider, it's sort of like they either are given it, like Forze was like, okay, told to do the sequence, you know, or whatever. And Eiji just sort of did that. I mean, he wasn't told what to do. Yeah. He just came up with that pose. But this kid's a dancer. He's a choreographer.
Makes sense.
Of course, what he's going to do.
Even if it annoys the out of his sister and she tells him to shut up.
Like, right.
So
but
much character actions in spite of it.
Some of us are trying to sleep. Stop dropping oranges on yourself.
And some people are trying to talk, Paladin. Shut up.
in spite of you know, the world itself being so weird, that's just their world, so they accept that. So their actual actions are very human, realistic.
Show.
Yeah, I mean, but I just love this sequence because it's like, I mean, again, we talk about character building. I mean, here you go. It's like, this guy's a dancer. He's going to come up with a henshin sequence. Not because he has any precedent for it, But just because that's what he would do. I mean, that's who he is.
Ah. Like, and it's an important part of his character, and I like it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I love it. Oh, my God.
Two episodes in, he's got more character development than Haruto had all season long.
He had that in 15 seconds last time.
Yeah. But, I mean, just expanded upon it here.
But we got to get to the best part, because the next day he shows up to work at the curry place and decides to transform to drive the scooter to the new locations, but his suit can't fit into the driveway, and so it topples over.
I love that as he tries to transform, it makes a total colon D face.
Mm-hmm.
Of just complete rapture and joy.
Yes. And then he tries to use the suit again when he's at his painting job and immediately makes a mess of everything.
And see, the thing about that is, like, it seems like he's having so much fun, and that with this writer, that only worries me, credibly, because...
I love that his job at the painting, the Three Stooges set, it turns into a Three Stooges episode where he spills paint on everyone.
Yeah.
Watching him
try to telegraph that joke last episode.
Yeah, it was, like, set up and then execution. It's great.
Watching him try to use the suit is like someone recorded a Giga Beetle photo session.
Man. Yeah, I can't wait to see the Giga Beetle, you know, guy painting stuff. That's going to be amazing. Or trying to deliver curry. That's going to be...
Aren't the Giga Beetles...
Figure art scale golf cart to deliver curry.
Yeah, I wonder if he's found one of those yet.
There's got to be a golf cart in the right field.
But here again, it's like, if you get this suit and stuff, you're not going to immediately, you know, yeah, he used it once.
If there isn't, he'll make one out of paper.
But he kind of used it once to, like, you know, save them. But what do you do after that, you know? Yeah, you're going to play with it. You're going to see what you can do. I mean, this is just
how,
like,
can this improve my day-to-day life?
Yeah. Brilliant.
That'll work out fine.
Besides, all, you know, first episode he's talking about transforming himself as a person, now he's like, hey, I got this gadget that actually transforms me!
Well, and there again, coming up with the henshin...
No work at all!
Organically, you know.
So, he runs across the cliche of a kid stuck up a tree, but he can't find the lock seed to transform and get him down.
Because it's strapped to his back instead.
Yes.
That's my favorite part of the episode.
It reminds me of O's Wonderful when AG had that one missing metal stuck in his shoe the whole time.
Oh, God damn it, AG.
I can't tell you how many times Amanda said that during the watching of O's. Like, every week.
Least dependable Kamen Rider ever.
Every episode we watch it, and she's just, like, shaking her head. God damn it, AG, get up!
So, in the spirit of that, in comes the leader of Team Baron.
Who is another second writer
named? I love Team Baron.
God, yes.
And Baron is awesome. Baron himself is awesome.
Either shut up and mope or get stuck in the tree all day. That's what he tells the kid.
But I love it because...
He just tells him to stop being a pussy and jump.
That you have to be brave and jump down. You have to be brave, and you have to have the courage to jump down, but I'll be there to catch you.
Yeah. So he's Gavin.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But I love it because it mirrors that first episode.
Yeah. It mirrors where, you know, it mirrors the Kuga scene.
Yeah.
From the first step, so.
Yeah, and so it's like, okay, you're going to see these different approach. You know, here we've established the difference in approach between these two characters instantly by showing them basically in the same setup and showing, like, their different approach, which both had the same end result, essentially. But
they're both going for a positive resolution, just in completely different manners.
Right.
And it adds a good depth to the Baron character. He wants to win and he wants to be strong, but he's not a completely heartless bastard.
I love it. It's like, I want to be in Team Baron. Like, what is screwed up about, like, the show is called Gaim.
Well, they're down a member, so.
But Team Gaim is just a bunch of whiny bitches.
Well, Team Baron has those pimp-ass suits, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And straps are always in.
And yeah. They have that awesome headquarters.
Yeah. I mean...
Yeah, Team Gaim was in a garage full of carbon monoxide.
But
maybe that's why they can't stop whining.
But Team Gaim has the rad bug.
Mm.
That's not a positive.
It may be the actual Ragdog.
So, what the hell was the girl's name? I can't remember right now.
Mai?
Okay.
Mai and Kota go back to the tear from yesterday to find everything around it is gone.
Huh. I wonder how that happened.
It was all. Mai tries to use the Sengoku driver herself, but the belt part doesn't materialize.
Because she's a girl.
It's not wide enough.
It knows the vagina.
She needs to get a belt extender.
All the while they're being watched by someone who recognizes the warring driver.
You're not saying it right. You just pronounce the umlaut.
You pronounce an umlaut, and haven't we had this discussion before?
You pronounce it umlaut.
Umlaut driver?
Driver? An omelet driver sounds delicious.
Isn't that just go on blue?
Totally. Make us some scrambled eggs!
So they go back to the evil dealer who got them the driver in the first place, and they find out that it locks to the first person who uses it. Which is also a good idea, because they'll have multiple warring drivers in the series, and now there's a reason why only one person can use it in the right way.
I guess. Considering...
And it also means we won't have a Fize talk. Or a Fi situation where everyone gets every driver at some point.
No, they're just going to be swapping lock seats.
Except, I kind of would have liked the swapping the driver around thing, because, you know, it's a whole team-based thing. Let other members of the team have a drive at it every once in a while.
No, they probably suck.
Didn't they swap
I'm
the driver?
Definitely guessing they suck.
What, Mickey?
Did they swap the driver once in Forza, or am I misremembering things?
No, they never did.
No, they never
did. Well, Kengo, sort of.
Kengo couldn't use it.
He tried, but he was...
He tried, and he died.
He was too sick.
You know, looking back, that's the other thing about watching the Mega Max, is how ironic it is, how a bastard Kengo is to Space Seaman. what's her name?
Nadesco.
He's such a Nabisco. Bastard. Yeah, Nadesco. He's such like a bastard to her. It's like she's not even real. She's just like sentient space stuff. And it's like, yeah, but so are you, Kengo.
Yeah, but he didn't know that.
Don't know that yet.
I know. So it's like completely awesome that later it's revealed. You gotta think that Kengo like wakes up one day. He's like, oh shit. Damn.
I was an asshole.
I was a total asshole.
At least he didn't kill his friend.
At least he didn't throw the driver into lava.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Good going, Gintaro!
The driver will come back to him.
And that's part of the problem.
It was kind of
the driver stuck
to
in
do,
an
though.
Abusive relationship.
He's gonna bring the driver flowers. I'm sorry, baby. You know what I didn't
it
mean.
Only it only throws you in the lava because it loves you.
Come on.
You just shouldn't have been so inspirational to me.
I only beat you because I love you.
So where the hell was I?
Well, it does. It did have a beat switch.
Oh my god. Wow.
Bye, Ken.
Well, did I call that or what?
Yep. So, anyway, back talking to the Lockseed drug dealer, we also find out that the Lockseeds have various classes. And that everything Baron has is Class C. Which is also good and important for future storytelling because it means different classes have different powers and stronger abilities.
Mm-hmm. Which we'll see later.
Though he offers to sell them a higher rank than Baron has, they cannot possibly afford it. So, once again, their team kind of sucks. Anyway, while Team Baron is dancing in public, they are overcome by another dancing team, the Raid Wilds.
phrase doesn't really make a lot of sense.
Mm.
Another translation issue, maybe?
No. Well, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, the team looks like they suck.
Yeah.
And they immediately try to challenge the stage with one of the Invis battles, but Baron whips out three at once.
That's so not proper Pokemon etiquette there.
And they are quickly overpowered by his awesomeness.
Which, you'll notice the way that he holds them, Loxies. It's like...
makes it hard for them to be knocked out of his hand?
Yeah, exactly.
It's almost like he knows what he's doing.
Hmm. Defense against your own attack? Yes.
But the crowd is unsatisfied because they believe Team Gaim would take Team Baron in a dance-off.
Yeah.
I'm not buying that.
I don't.
Yeah, we all know that's bullshit, but they got to advance the story somehow.
And Zach always wins those anyway.
What about Alpha?
God.
But didn't Alpha win one time?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, Mighty Morphin G2.
I'm on a special episode of Gaim now where Zach shows up to be like a mentor to everyone. Teaches them the ways of hip-hop keto. Mm.
God. He's breakdance fighting.
So, oh, Baron yeah. shows up and challenges Gaim. If Gaim wins the fight, they can have the stage back, but if they lose, they have to forfeit their player pass and retire as a team.
Which I love that Baron's response to this is like, look, I'm doing you a favor. You suck.
And the sooner you realize it, the better you'll be.
Yeah, if you will just realize that you are awful.
He's electric boogaloo, this whole plot of this.
We're trying to help you, okay? You're awful. No one likes you. It would be best for you if you went away.
And he offers a pineapple lockseed.
Well, and it's kind of funny because... you know, he ends up with strawberry and orange, so you're thinking, you know, okay, well, strawberry then. But, yeah. So he offers up the pineapple.
But instead he wagers the strawberry lockseed to counter Baron, and they are shocked that Team Gaim somehow is a Class A lockseed.
Yeah. So then the best part happens. This is like... this is like Pidgey... versus, like, Mega Charizard. Because then a little Invest comes out. And then, like, this massive monster's like, holy crap.
And against all odds, Team Gaim kicks their asses.
Against all odds, sure, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, until somehow the strawberry lockseed is shot out of Kota's hand, and the Invis monster walks out of the ring and into the real world.
Yeah, that
and
was.
And Baron is pissed.
Yeah. Dude, we are not douchebags.
That's because Baron has honor.
Which is another great depth to his character. He's strong, he wants to win, but he wants to win the right way.
Mm-hmm. He wants. Well, and plus, it's not just that. He wants to win the right way because that's how strong people win. Mm-hmm. If you're strong...
you don't need to cheat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, I like this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Also kind of like the Dennis the Menace tactics his subordinate uses with the slingshot.
Mm-hmm. God.
He's going to Bart Simpson his way through cheating.
It's not even like a nice slingshot either. It's a piece of wood.
It's jank. Oh, it's total jank.
I can.
Hello.
Hello.
Feeling better?
Hello. I can hear everybody now.
Yes, please announce you're coming back like an unprofessional.
Yeah, well.
You say you can hear us like it's a good thing.
This is a point.
So, Kota decides that he may suck at using the suit for regular everyday tasks, but he might be able to use it to protect people.
Maybe. Just maybe.
Ding. The little lit-up orange appears over his head.
Ding.
So he does an okay job fighting this new Invest monster until it absorbs the strawberry lock seed and mega evolves.
Whoops.
Yeah, and that was...
Because it's episode two, boys. It's time for a giant CGI monster.
That's right.
Some traditions never die.
But that was the point I was like, oh, so we're not doing the strawberry thing right now. Oh, okay.
Oh well, never mind.
Yeah, I guess we are going to go pineapple.
Well, don't be silly, JD. A strawberry can never pulverize.
Mm. And at 2:30, you're shoving a pineapple up Hitler's ass.
Intro quote.
I probably don't have that one.
It's from Little Nicky. No one's seen this movie. That's the funniest part of the whole damn thing.
Yeah, JD, we don't purposely watch bad things.
Right.
JD watches Adam Sandler movies.
Look, all right.
Wizard.
Let's all point and laugh.
No.
And he watches Family Guy.
It was when
Robot Chicken.
In my defense, it was when I was working at Blockbuster and had to watch a lot of movies. So.
Well, that's another bad decision you've made in your life, JD.
I don't think you have to watch movies when you work at Blockbuster. You just rent them to other people.
We're encouraged to. I mean, we got 5 rentals or more a week or something. We were encouraged to rent stuff at the time. And this was like 10 years.
You mean you actually sold 5 rentals a week? Oh, okay.
This was like 10 years ago or so, you know. Or more. It had been about 12. Oh, God. I'm old.
Uh-huh.
So, as Gaim's getting his ass kicked by the CGI monstrosity, Baron picks up Gaim's lost sword and tackles the monster head-on.
Okay, that was
a fucking goddamn badass.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Or a Kaito, we now have a secondary rider with that name.
I don't know what that means, but he doesn't care about wearing armor to kick ass.
No.
And he gets smacked away by the monster and survives, which is also pretty badass.
He does some damage, too, with the sword. That's pretty impressive.
And to save his life, Gaim readjusts the armor, folds it up around his head, and headbutts the monster as an orange.
Spins it.
What was that? Orange sparking?
Yes. Yes.
That was amazing.
And it's like, is that going to be like a regular attack? I hope so. Like, it has its own attack name and everything?
And I wonder if that was planned to be the actual attack from the start, or if it's a case of beast warring their own weapons up.
Maybe, yeah. Mm. If so, points for creativity.
Yeah.
I don't know if the orange can spin on the AC Gaim toy.
Only one way to find out.
Ask Gigabeetle.
Yeah, that's a Gigabeetle. Yep.
So Gaim calls in the pineapple seed that they won from the contest, and Baron reluctantly hands it over because he's not going to welch on that debt. Especially after Gaim did kind of save his life there.
It does also show he does have a bit of honor. Mm-hmm. So.
Oh, totally, yeah.
Or he probably wouldn't have been doing it in the first place. Plus he got mad at that jackass who was shooting the
box. And broke his slingshot.
Yeah, he totally broke that little crappy wooden slingshot. No! Daddy said no.
That would have been a lot more impressive if it was one of those fancy, you know, metal and plastic slingshots.
Yeah, totally.
Bet you could have done that too, though, if he tried.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm just saying that would be a more impressive visual.
We're totally wrong people at this point.
No, I think we're supposed to be rooting for Baron a little bit.
Yeah, probably.
But now it is time to pulverize and destroy.
Best translation.
And oh my god, that is the best weapon I have ever seen. Using a pineapple as a f-ing mace flail is inspired.
Oh, brilliant. I mean, that's
Now the suit itself
kind of sucks, but we can live with
that. Well, the suit sucks.
What do you mean it sucks? It's kind of what's bad about it?
I like it.
No, the stunt suit sucks with pretty much the entire the pineapple armor on the arms on the
it's way too floppy
is floppy. And on the action on the close up suit, it's on single piece.
No, I think it's supposed to be floppy like that. It's supposed to resemble like the chainmail pauldron things that hang down with the jointed armor.
Well,
it's exactly what it's supposed to look like
on the close up suit, but on the stunt suit, it's pretty much just flopping around all over the place.
I think it looks a lot cooler than the stunt suit then because it looks more interesting.
Yeah, I agree. I don't have a problem with it.
No, I don't. Yeah.
You're and upvoted. We get Gaim's first Rider Kick.
Yes.
Yeah, that was like, I was like, yay, hey, Rider Kick.
And he punches the pineapple hole through the monster.
That is how you pulperize.
That's amazing.
And that's after sticking the pineapple on the monster's head.
Oh, that was amazing. It's a great fight. It's a good show so far.
At the moment, Gaim is the best thing ever. We'll see how much longer that lasts.
Right.
And yeah. Second episode, and there wasn't a to be continued.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really nice. I'm a little bit encouraged because I think I saw on one of the news items they were saying that the series is going to get a little darker from here, and I was like...
Yeah, there was an interview with Urobuchi, and he knows his writer. He knows his writer very well. Like, he was talking about, like, how Comriders themselves are monsters, how, like, Rider 1 was Shocker's Hopper monster.
Right.
And it,
which most people forget.
Yeah.
Right.
Pretty much the only Showa writer that wasn't that weren't time created to be monsters were V3 and Amazon. Well, and Rider Man.
Yeah, he was a secondary writer, whatever.
In the Oz universe, he had his own series.
Well, yeah, but O's.
You liked O's.
I do like O's, but I'm just saying that was an anniversary
series. A spin-off series of Nobunaga from O's becoming a writer.
Oh, let's not.
And next week, Banana Arms.
Yay.
Yes.
I'm having Amanda watch Gaim with me, too, and that's been fun.
At least until she leaves.
At least until she leaves, which is Wednesday. So
she will
see Banana
probably,
Arms.
Yeah, she'll probably miss Banana Arms.
Yep, she will miss Banana Arms.
I have to say, though, I'm really pleased with how fully the fruit theme is being, you know, latched onto in the production of the fights.
Like, they're playing it so straight with the characters, though.
Yeah.
There's very little winking and nodding going on.
Yeah, that's what the Urbiter does. He plays everything straight.
Yeah.
Nothing sells a ridiculous concept more like playing it straight.
Oh, totally. Yeah, exactly.
So far, this is ridiculous, and it's working beautifully.
It's really, really fun.
I am so happy.
And it's, so far, I mean...
The so do we get to play this...
Compared to the first episode of Wizard, we've already got a lot more character in setup.
Mm-hmm.
So in 30
and,
episodes,
and a lot more like flexibility in what is going on, too.
In 30 episodes, are we going to be playing this back and then going, what happened?
There's no shame in changing your mind if something turns to shit. You don't have to keep loving something just because you loved it at the beginning.
See, again, like Wizard, I thought, had a strong start. The first episode was really good.
And then it just kept playing that episode over and
over. But at the same time, I enjoyed Star Trek Voyager's first season. It's just that every subsequent season was that season over and over again with no changes ever.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, no, there were changes. It got slightly worse every time.
But, I mean, I can enjoy Voyager's first season because, you know, it's no worse a first season than any other Star Trek series has had. You know.
Which is not saying. They've all been mostly bad.
It just, the rest of Voyager stands out as being completely terrible, but that first season is like, yeah, I can accept this as standard Star Trek, you know.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, two episodes out of every Voyager season were good.
Two episodes.
There was the episodes focused on the Doctor.
Oh, well, yeah.
Speaking of focus episodes.
Yeah, Renaissance Man was fantastic. That was the one in season 7.
Thanks.
Not to be confused with that one episode of Voyager, which was a first season episode.
Yes, usually.
But yeah, I'm enjoying Gaim. I'm having a lot of fun watching it.
Nice to say.
It is definitely the Kamen Rider we hoped for.
So far.
Hopefully it's not.
I really, really hope they don't f*** it up.
I don't hate watching it.
That's important.
That's the most important thing we hope for.
Yeah.
Yeah, Wizard had, like,
I'm
cool
I'm
looking...
I'm super thrilled that I'm excited to watch Toku again.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. the Wizard past had... 6 months have been so hard.
Well, Garo.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I kind of don't count Garo for some reason. It's something...
Not enough.
I know it's Toku, but it's too different from Kamen and Sentai.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
But no, like I was trying to say, Wizard had cool-looking stuff, but it wasn't, like, fun
stuff. It
didn't do a damn
thing with any of it.
And it wasn't fun stuff. It was just, you know, flashy looking.
Yeah.
He's got a pineapple mace.
It's kind of like yeah. Pacific Rim in that it looks good, but there was no substance behind any of it, so you didn't care.
Well, I care.
Yeah, I didn't care. I still haven't seen... I still haven't...
When Fort Mac says bye, Ken, he's just pressing disconnect on Ken's face. Had enough of you. Click.
And Ken's like, I don't know what's happening.
Motherfucker.
I don't know why I keep getting disconnected. Why do I keep getting disconnected?
Magic. JD, that's not fair. That's Don, not Ken.
Oh, well.
Was it Don or was it Gurr?
That's Don.
Okay, so let's take a break and we'll be back in a few minutes with Power Playback.
Yay!
You're listening to Superhero Time.
Aufgepasst, Motomorph Rangers! Angriff der Aliens! Mit dem Chip aktivierst du den Verteidigungsmodus und verwandelst sie in coole Helden! Mit den Motomorph-Figuren schlägst du alle Gegner in die Flucht! Power Rangers Motomorph-Figuren, nur echt von Bandai!
It's time now for another Dynaman moment.
Your wheels are real cherry.
That's just like Dyna Pink. Oh, you bet.
How would you know?
Oh, kids.
How fast does she go?
Pretty fast from what I've heard.
We're not just talking about the motorcycle.
That's not very nice.
Hey, cut it out, you knuckleheads. Well, I'm gonna try this baby out.
Don't fall. Don't fall.
Don't worry, Doc. I'm much too good looking.
Power with your old Power Rangers gloves with built-in Karate Shop sound effects. Just squeeze the button. Turn on the TV projector lamp and shine it anywhere to summon other Rangers. Touch your wrist and the gloves sing. Get the Power Ranger Room Defender, a motion detector that scares off the bad guys.
Stand back. This room is protected by the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Thus saving the world.
Saban's Mighty Morphin Power Rangers gloves, TV projector lamp, and Room Defender sold separately from Happiness Express.
You're listening to Power Playback. Look for Power Playback every Friday on Twitter at superhero_time.
So this week on Power Playback, we're doing Power Rangers RPM. I think we settled on Ranger Blue.
Yes.
No, we finally conceded on Ranger Blue.
Yeah, I wouldn't say. Yeah.
Paladin's been pushing for it for 6 months now. We finally just... lost our will to fight.
You're too bored to argue with me.
Basically.
I guess. Okay, so, for this very special summary of Power Playback, I've decided that JD will do it with a Scottish accent.
Oh, shit.
I did not get to prep either. our Scottish fan base, I'm so sorry.
Quick, mention your money bin.
We don't have it. We do not have a Scottish fan base anymore. I'm sorry.
The Scottish fan base is gone.
Finn McFeely.
He's Irish.
Irish. You
see,
fuck.
Now you just
offended McFeely.
Now you've gone.
I'm pretty sure the show itself offends McFeely.
He doesn't even listen. Okay, so.
Best idea I've had all week.
The episode starts out with the Rangers asking questions to Dr. K.
Hey, buddy.
Like, why the f*** have they got eyes? And she's like, what?
This is going to take a while.
The big f***ing eyes. The big f***ing eyes on the right front of the thing. Like, that's not eyes. No, that's optical sensors. Are you f***ing kidding? That's big f***ing googly anime eyes.
It's still the best line.
And she's like, we're all f***ing daft.
The writing in this show is so good.
All right, next question. Why the f*** does shit explode behind us? And she's like, what? He's like, look at this. Look right there. You see? Big f***ing ball of flame. Right behind me. Oh, it's residual morphing energy from the morphing grid. Yeah, okay. Whatever. And then Blue asks some question and gets stuck in his f***ing head because his dad was... He was a good dad. Trying to set his son on the right path and not listening to f***ing comic books and dressing around like in f***ing spandex.
That's not spandex.
It's just a t-shirt. So anyway, he comes back to reality and they're like, oh yeah, there's a thing we got to fight.
Now, have we gone through all the flashbacks with Blue yet?
He's kind of glancing over them.
I just want to touch on how they take Ari Boylan, who's already fine to look at, and they figure, you know what? Let's go put him in some police uniforms and firefighter uniforms. So they're one step from putting him away in like a breakaway tux.
Well, he did wear a kilt to Yellow's wedding, after all. And the Grinders tried to look up it.
And he looks pretty.
Because I think this is the next part. This is the next part. You're f***ing up my whole thing.
I'm sorry. I'm thinking about the best part of the episode.
Yeah, we're getting there.
Of him firing his fire hose off.
Right. All of the story of this episode is crap. What you gotta understand is the good parts are the flashback. So, anyway, yes, we go into the battle, and Blue gets, like, goes to do his, like, time travel thing. And it all f***s up, and so he's in his head. And, yes, he's remembering what it was like to suck at life. Because he was f***ing awful at everything. Couldn't be a f***ing policeman. Couldn't be a firefighter because he wanted to save people and shit.
And goldfish.
And goldfish. I'm going and back for the fish. And plants, yes. No. Anyway. So, yeah. So he finally snaps out of that. And then... She's like, oh, your suit is filled with residual blah-bitty-blah, who the f*** cares? It's like, no, you can explain it to me. I'm a mechanic. I know how shit works. And she's like, blah-bitty-blah, science. And he's like, can you not? I don't. I'm f***ing
okay, stupid. I don't know how shit works.
Never mind. I'm f***ing stupid. And she's like, exactly. Just you can't morph. So anyway, then later, like, more fighting breaks out, and he's, like, remembering sucking, and then the world tried to blow up. And then the world tried to blow up, and then people tried to die. No, we're getting into the wrong accent.
No, most of them succeeded at dying.
Yeah, JD's Scottish is quickly turning Italian again.
They did a very good job.
I didn't get a lot of interbreeding.
I did not get to prep, okay?
That's what makes it fun. Especially when I misdirect you earlier in the episode.
And there's a great line, I guess, that was in the earlier part of this that I missed, where she's like, well, red is this, and pink is the girl, or yellow's the girl, and whatever.
It's the leader, yellow's the girl. Green's the goop, green's the clown, black's the brooding loner.
I love how even Tanaya recognizes that yellow is just there to fill a gender requirement role.
It's a very self-depreciating series.
And she's like, and so what are you? And he's like, I'm Scottish.
Hey.
It's the best punchline.
Yeah.
And it has the best musical accompaniment, too.
What's important about this, though, is
suddenly there's bitchin' bagpipe music in the background.
The only time bagpipe music is ever considered bitchin'.
It is never the wrong time for bitchin' bagpipe music.
Every time it's the wrong. Anyway, so we get to the important part of this episode. Yeah, he saved all the people on the bus. That's great. What's important, though, is he's like decides to go help his friends, and she's like, "Sirius Blue, you can't do that because your suit's all f***ed up." And he's like, "No, I was thinking about the reverse polarity blowback, blah blah blah, and it'll just make a big f***ing explosion." And so for the first time in Power Rangers history, we actually have a Power Ranger that uses his morphing sequence in an offensive way.
Before the
And it is f***ing awesome.
It makes a huge, enormous f***ing fireball that nearly kills everybody. It was amazing. And he saved
all them. That, and he's just a mechanic.
Yeah, and then there was like a mecha fight, but what the f***, who cares about that? Anyway, his
Nobody
dad was proud.
No one cares about the Gwanja finishing.
Yeah, right. What's important is that his pa was proud that he had saved people on the bus, and now he's got all of these news clippings of Power Ranger Blue because that's his son. And he's like, I'm proud of you, son. You don't suck as bad as I thought you might.
Wow.
The most awesome episode Disney ever produced.
Wow.
I go out and say it's probably the most awesome episode of Power Rangers.
Ooh, that's a good question.
A lot of RPM could qualify for that, I think.
This would be my first candidate for that, though.
So could him and his Gwanja counterpart be like any more different?
Well, could RPM and Gwanja be any more different?
Different period, yeah.
Across the board.
Probably not.
Like, let's compare Gwan Gold and Silver versus Jim and Jimma.
Wow. Boom
it's
time.
Like Disney said, let's take Gwanja and do the opposite. Across the board on every single option.
But I love that. I like that the first part of this episode acknowledges some of the things that are a bit off in trying to do that. I mean, it is a great. It still works for this series, but obviously the things they point out, like the googly anime eyes, are the sort of.
I just think it's awesome that they actually got to say that.
Yeah.
Googly. What's anime great eyes. Is the whole googly anime eyes thing makes sense within the universe they set up.
Mm-hmm.
Because Dr. K is essentially an adult child.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She likes cute things.
We don't really find that out till next time.
We covered that one already. How do we justify using Gwanja footage for a series like this?
They came out with an explanation that really works. It's really astounding they made it work as well as they did.
Yeah, you wouldn't really think that adapting Gwanja into anything that isn't Gwanja would work.
Yeah, you
but...
think it'd end up like the first half of Turbo.
Yeah.
I don't think we've been that naughty that we deserved that to happen.
Besides, we've paid that off with JD's large skirt.
God. I should be ashamed of that, but I'm not. I think I'm almost ashamed that I'm not ashamed.
If you have joined this show, you are beyond shame.
Well, yeah.
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 Can't argue that.
And, like, he was eager, too.
After it started.
Yeah.
Long after it started.
I saw potential.
For killing your show?
I saw a world... Well, that wasn't the potential that I saw. That's just the thing, but...
That's an added benefit.
Well...
Yeah.
I don't know. I got a lot of people that are like on my ass now. I'm like, bring the show back. Okay.
Besides Kilby?
Yeah, besides Kilby. Yep, I've got people out there.
The computer?
Not computer. Are you kidding? The computer is basically XV personified, so no, not the computer.
Exactly. Except you would bring it back only to destroy it again.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah, there you go, XV. If you bring it back, then you can destroy it again. He's like,
I don't want to bring it back. I don't care about comics.
Yeah. You're just mad because
anyone who writes comics these days.
You're just mad because you sat through all those episodes and then we didn't even get to the part that you stayed on the show for.
Yeah. He just sat there playing Pokemon anyway, so.
I tried, yeah. The camera angle was kind of bad for showing that at a comfortable position to play the game, though.
No, but it was always mentioned.
Well, yeah. You know.
I'm completely lost here.
We're talking about the couple times I sat in on Fanboy Versus for
we were trying to talk about like TV
literally
shows.
Literally sat in.
Mm.
Yeah, he sat in on some of the shows and then we ran long. So we didn't even get to the thing that he was on the show for. It's pretty awesome.
Still, in the end, who had the last laugh?
Yeah, well, there you go. I'm bringing this. The show is not canceled. I'm bringing it back.
No, you're not.
Yeah.
It just like that live action Robotech movie's going to happen.
Totally. In a Robotech movie?
Just like that Deadpool movie. Yep.
Just like that Fantastic Four movie.
Yeah.
No, the Fantastic Four movie is something we wish didn't happen.
Yeah. Wait, do you mean the good Fantastic Four movie or the one that had Jessica Alba in it?
I mean the one with the black guy in it.
What?
Eh, never mind.
Okay.
The Incredibles?
Well, that is the best Fantastic Four movie, but no.
It's the best Family Dollar Fantastic Four movie ever made.
I didn't mind watching The Incredibles without, you know, having to pay for it.
I resented its existence as a whole.
Why?
Because if it was any more obvious about ripping off Fantastic Four, they would have actually had the Silver Surfer in it.
Yeah, but, I mean, didn't Disney ultimately get the last laugh because they just bought Fantastic Four?
Well, they don't have Fantastic Four anymore.
Well, they don't have the movie rights to them, yeah, but they do have the comic,
I guess.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm saying, yes, we could theoretically maybe see some sort of, you know, Fantastic Four.
It'd be like a Pixar made a movie about someone who had the proportionate speed and strength of a scorpion and fought a villain with robotic squid arms.
Professor Calamari?
Yes.
Victory is delicious.
That's a really good name.
Yeah, it is really. Yeah, claim that name now.
What I want is a newspaper Spider-Man movie.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. It would be better than Amazing.
It would repeat itself every 5 minutes.
And half of it would just be him complaining about the TV shows.
I wish Jonah would stop talking bad about me. 5 minutes later, why does Jonah keep talking bad about me?
Yeah, but the important, but of course, you know who the main villain would have to be, Clown Nine.
It couldn't be Mary Worth.
No, she's only meddler status.
I'm sorry, did you almost say stabus? Because you kind of revealed her true motive.
I am actually Aldo.
So what should we watch next week?
The Hurricanes Are 10 Years After thing just came out.
Oh,
it sure did. So what should we watch next week?
You're correct.
That is the thing that happened.
I mean, let's look at this rationally here. We watch an episode of Hurricanger and we're bored to death. The full series of Hurricanger isn't subbed, so we have no idea basically what happens over the course of it. But yeah, right. Why don't we watch the 10-year reunion movie?
I mean, so, it'd be hard to really appreciate it, even if you end up liking the series. It's like, you know.
Yeah. No context. It would be like how
can't
I watched.
Cover it until 10 years after the series is subbed.
I don't really want to watch Hurricanger because Hurricanger sucks.
See, that's kind of my point here, too.
Yeah,
I guess there's that.
I have all the Sentai series they got to do a reunion movie. It's the one that's the worst outside of Ghost Ager.
And remember, too...
It could be Turbo Ranger.
Remember, too, they had, like, a sneak-in team-up movie during Gokaiger.
Yeah.
So, apparently
like,
Japan
who are
gets...
Who they that they get all this attention?
Yeah, apparently Japan gets something about the Hurricangers that we don't. So, whatever.
It's almost like one member of the Hurricangers is in the high position at, you know, Toei.
I wonder which one that could be.
Red.
It's the gerbil, isn't it?
It's always the gerbil.
Kinky.
So anyway, next week.
Garo.
Wasn't there another movie that was coming out though?
Garo, but it's not out yet. I'm sorry. You mean like Toei stuff?
Yeah.
Trying to think. Oh,
if we can't remember it, then
Tyson Z, but it's not subbed yet.
Okay, that's what we're waiting on.
That'll suck anyway, too.
So, Fort Max, how's the subbing going on that?
Don't know.
Damn, that was quick.
We kind of had a rehearsal last week, though.
Fort Max, how's the encoding going on that?
I'm not doing it.
Oh.
You mean you're not doing it for fun, even?
I haven't sat down and watched the Raw, but there's some interesting looking things in it, so it might not be that bad. But then again, it is a lot of Kyoryuger and Wizard at the beginning and the end. The middle part's not, though.
Can we just watch the middle part then?
middle part is Gavin, Guy, Yoko.
Gavin?
Hmm.
Yeah.
Gavin, Guy, and Yoko.
Which Gavin?
Which guy?
G.
Which Yoko?
Busters and Gokaiger.
Oh. Well, if you would have said. Jetman. I might have been in. I don't know. No, now that I've seen Guy on fire, then a little more respect for the guy.
Yeah, it's very difficult watching those scenes now. It's like I've seen his face. That
and it's not much different from his excited face.
I know.
So it's sort of like. When he's excited, it's his O-face.
He has some very crunchy pants.
And then I jizz in my pants.
Oh, no.
Like we had any illusions, that's not what he was doing every time he met a new Sentai member.
Yeah.
Shake it off. He probably would have shot for Turbo Ranger.
So what the hell can we do next week?
Oh my god, Captain Marvelous. These guys are the most boring Sentai of all time. They're so great.
Children everywhere love it. Wait, what?
We're doing Bokenger next week. Episode
I've never seen
22.
Anything Bokenger.
Bokenger is easy. Everything's very episodic.
Bokenger is also TV Nihon.
We can deal with it.
With their bad encoding.
Well, you know what you're going to do.
Okay, then, what's the series that someone else has done?
Yeah, that's the question that we haven't reviewed.
Fort Max?
In its entirety.
Monkey.
What? Oh, no, not. Why are you asking Fort Max for a suggestion?
God, no.
No, I'm asking Fort Max for who's
Max,
done...
What is a Sentai series that someone else other than TV Nihon has done?
That we haven't done a lot of. Yeah, it really limits.
Five Man?
Well, we
is
did...
there any work on Ryo Kendo getting it resubbed?
You know, the Mega Ranger has a whole lot of episodes done.
We just did their team up, Mega though. Ranger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How about you, Ranger?
Any notable episodes?
I think there's
I don't know. Pick one. You only did one near the beginning before.
Yeah, I remember us always saying, we should give Zoo Ranger another chance, and then we never went back to it.
Well, let's do the one where Barai dies. Spoilers.
It's classic.
Spoilers.
So what episode is that again?
Episode Death.
That's something I'm figuring out.
40-something?
It's in the late 30s or early 40s, right?
I want to say it's in the early 30s. I thought it was like 35, some 33.
I don't think that early.
Okay, so we're decided. Next week in Superhero Time, Barai dies.
Spoiler!
Barai dies episode 42.
Oh, okay.
All right, let's go with that then.
Well, I was way off.
But we would need 41 and 42. It is a two-part episode,
yeah,
I believe.
Okay, 41. Fine. Two-parter.
41, 42 then.
Sweet. Or was it?
It's an idea. Let's go with it.
Fort Max, it was just two parts. Episode 40 wasn't directly connected, right?
It's entitled Bry's Deathly Departure.
I know that, Fort Max. I can read two. However...
I do not know off the top of my head.
See, that's a problem, too. Because I don't remember either.
Well, let's do the two. I mean, we'll say now the two, and then we'll update the Twitter if we need to watch more later.
If somebody remembers.
If someone remembers.
I don't want to do a three-episode power playback. That'll take forever.
Let's just assume 41 and 42 and go from there.
Now, what kind of funny accent can we make JD do for Jew Ranger?
Well, I suppose Jewish
dinosaur accent.
Too obvious.
What, Mickey?
Dinosaur accent.
A dinosaur accent? I don't know what a dinosaur accent is.
Well, you got a whole week to figure it out.
All right, so I have to come up with a funny accent to use for next week.
And it has to be from the right period. I mean, use Jurassic or Cretaceous, not
right.
The other one.
Right.
That would just be inappropriate.
Yes. I'll come up with something.
What was the third period?
Cretaceous.
Cretaceous.
I said Cretaceous.
Cretaceous, Jurassic, and...
Triassic.
Triassic.
Yeah. Triassic. The first one.
It's the tri in the name.
Don't be a smartass.
But that implies that all three should end in Assic.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does, because tri means three. So it should be three Assics.
So it's like Total Recall with the three boobs, only get three Assics.
Yes. Yeah, three cheeks.
Does that give you two holes?
Well, no, it's one hole.
Yeah,
it's just split down the middle.
So you can get, like, quadruple penetration. QP.
No, wouldn't that just be triple penetration?
No, two in each hole.
Oh, okay.
Kind of like how your mom can do DVDA.
Right. I forget. Did the Total Recall remake actually come out, or did it get stalled like RoboCop?
It sucked.
Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think everyone forgot about it really quickly.
Rightfully so.
I forgot
obviously.
About it and Colin Farrell.
Yeah.
Rightfully so.
That also ended his career. Because everyone moved on to that guy that played Hawkeye.
I can't remember his name either.
Yeah.
That's probably not good for his career.
No, because there'll be just someone else.
Didn't he play Wash in Serenity?
No.
No.
They're not the same person?
No. In fact, I'm pretty sure that he, like, dueled Colin Farrell and took his head.
There can be only one.
There can be only one.
Colin Farrell in a Highlander remake?
Hey, it beats the shit out of Ryan Reynolds.
No, no.
No, there can't be a Highlander remake.
There can't?
There can only be one.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, I'll hand you that one, Fort Max.
That was good.
You know, I was thinking the other day that Sean Connery would have made a great Klingon.
Yeah, why didn't that happen?
Like, he should have been the villain for Star Trek IV.
I could see him as an Andorian.
I don't know. I think if you put William Shatner and Sean Connery in the same room, they would create an ego vacuum. Destroy the universe.
It's like putting the two north ends of two magnets together. Right. It's just not possible.
You wouldn't ever have them in the same room. They would just interact over view screens.
There you go.
Oh, look, Wrath of Khan.
Right.
Yeah.
I stab at thee.
Because, you know, if they would have had Khan on screen in an action scene with Kirk, his plastic chest would have fallen off and, you know.
But what happened to Khan's plastic chest?
It would stay in place. They used stronger glue on his.
Mm.
No, he didn't have a plastic. No, that was his actual chest.
You'll never make me believe that, Fort Max.
That's Ricardo f***ing Montalban. You watch your mouth.
Yeah.
Man.
Did you see Spy Kids 3?
No.
He walked despite being crippled. Because he's Ricardo Montalban. That was not special effects or CGI. He exercised his will to rule.
He's just been chip chasing it up.
I kind of completely abandoned Chip Chase.
Yeah. He was just gone.
Dude, you're just slowing us up. We're just not going to hang around you anymore.
His colostomy bag.
They probably pushed him out of his chair. They probably pushed him out of his chair.
No. He just, I'm sure, like, they.
Courage this.
His colostomy bag reversed itself and he got a horrible infection and died, and that was it.
Well, it's the same reason Spark Plug wasn't around in season 3.
Heart attack.
Oh, he probably died by then.
Because at some point,
heart attack with his flamethrower.
At some point, Chip like rolled off a cliff into a river, and Sparkplug dived in after him, and they both drowned. And that's why they never showed up again.
Or spoke of them.
Right. Well, the memory is so painful.
Of course.
You know,
all Sparkplug ever did was get kidnapped and brainwashed.
He was good at it too.
Worst father ever.
I mean, you gotta play up to your skills, right? So that's our show for this week. What?
Go ahead.
No, I was done. What were you gonna say?
I still don't understand why they let a 15-year-old on an oil rig.
It was the 80s. They didn't have child labor laws.
Well, at least they had abolished them for a period of time. This is the first thing that Reagan did when he took office. These kids. Put them to work.
Reaganomics.
Thanks, Reagan.
Reaganomics. I think that intro quote's going to be, the first thing Reagan did was these kids.
Oh, him and Walt Disney.
Very nice. And on that note,
got to do with this.
Definitely there. We have to go.
Be careful. Undead Reagan Paladin will hear you.
Undead Reagan Paladin? What the f***?
He'll descend from hell and slay us all.
No, he's in heaven. The Reagan Ray.
No, he descend from hell and then forget what he was doing in the first place.
Because it wasn't absolutely silent.
Yeah.
That's a common trait among Paladin. Undead Reagan Paladin, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's right. They do have the same name.
I'm amazed by how little I care.
Are you really?
No.
You've been listening to Superhero Time. Go to tokupodcast.com for show notes and to listen to previous episodes. Find us on iTunes or download our Android app at tfradio.net/android. Follow us on Twitter for show updates, weekly power playback, and more at superhero_time. Superhero Time is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Copyright 2013.
still can't believe that show of RFC we did a couple weeks ago when they were like, is JD drunk? I'm like, no. Have you not seen me? This is me.
No, but I could believe you were drunk.
I mean, I guess I could see where people would think that, but I'm just uninhibited.
Were you walking naked in front of the camera?
God, I wish. That would be amazing. No one would be able to tell, though. It'd be like family.
No, that was a different episode of RFC. Oops.
I do the Family Guy naked where like the gut covers it.
Yeah, in retrospect, I'm glad that the Superhero Time episode of RSC was the first one to feature full male nudity in it.
Did it make it to the final show?
I don't know.
It was in the pre-show, but still.
Oh,
we're breaking boundaries and f***ing up Kilby's show.
No, see, if I'm new on there, it's like the large skirt kind of covers it all, so.
Marilyn Monroe, then.
Totally. God, can you imagine what kind of industrial fan it would take to blow up a large skirt?
No, but now I want to find out.
It's like a jet engine. God. I tell you, you haven't lived until you've seen a fat man do a curtsy with his large skirt.
I really want to see JD in a blonde wig doing the Marilyn Monroe thing now.
With nothing on, just the fat flying up.
And the blonde wig. The blonde wig is important. The
blonde wig is vital.
And, you know, you take that picture with the 3DS camera.
Oh, my God. Yeah. You want all that fat glory in 3D.
It's not really there.
It's like I can almost hear the fat flapping in the wind. This terrific image has been brought to you by Superhero Time. Please feel free to vomit in your nearest trash can.
Already taken care of.
Superhero Time! 来週もよろしくな。
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.